It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I forgot to do the intro, never mind. Yes, welcome, Cardiff City World. It's the breakfast show, it's the flower hour. I'm filling in for Robert, as he's away for the weekend. He hasn't done anything this week, have he? Yeah, disgraceful.
I don't think he does. He doesn't do much most weeks anyway, but even when he's here, if I'm honest.
Bless him. So, I'm joined by Mr. Matthew Angel. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, lovely. Parked in the car, as you can see, a little bit of a different setting for me this morning, but boy got football, so got stuff to get done beforehand. So, yeah, short and sharp this morning, but I think, is it?
Yeah, just a little breakfast show. Look at the just have a talk about the game. Obviously, you can give the opinion of being in the ground, I can give the opinion of watching off TV, so it works quite nicely, but
it does.
Cardiff with another good result, mate, against a promotion, automatic promotion chasing team as well. And I've got to be honest, mate, I think, look, this is just my general overview of it, right? There's obviously a bit of nuance to certain things. Generally speaking, mate, I think that what that showed is if you can give him the right signings in the summer, mixed with the youngsters and what's already there, his style of football can work and can play a bit more attacking. We pressed yesterday because we had players who could press. However, my one caveat with it is all of those players who played yesterday and played well and did well and made his style a bit more aggressive, they've been available all season. So,
agreed.
I think you've got to, whilst you can say, yes, it was really good, but you've also got to ask the question, why is he stuck with Bowler over Ashford? Why is Conte not being given a chance to give Perry Engie a rest? Or why has Romeo not played a couple more games when, you know, Perry Engie's been probably the second best right back in the whole league all season, I'd say.
Yeah.
I don't think that's particularly controversial. I think Walker Peters is probably the only one who's probably above him in terms of consistency, apart from the last probably 6 weeks. I think in the last 6 weeks, Perry Engie has had a couple of games where he's looked a bit shaky. Maybe he's not getting the protection ahead of him. I don't know. Maybe he's just tired. It could be a range of things. I also, you know, you never know if they're starting to talk about summer moves and stuff like that. Maybe that's a distraction. I don't know. I'm speculating. But what I could say is he's very consistent, but maybe he could have done with a break. The start of the season, I said Jamaal Collins looked when, you know, around January time, I felt like he needed a break, but we had no other left back to play. And he just looked tired where he'd come back from a long injury. He was playing 90 minutes every week. But then on the positive side, mate, I thought Joe Rawls had a really good game yesterday, although I thought he looked better once Ruben went into the 10. But my thing with Joe Rawls, mate, I mean, we'll talk about it later. What did you think of the overall kind of game?
Just going back to your selection things with the manager and things then. So I think listening to his reaction after the game, I think he put a lot of emphasis on the players just to go out and have the freedom to play football. No pressure. Like I said, we're not fighting relegation. We're not fighting going for the playoffs. And I think that was one of his excuses. Say excuse then. That was one of his reasonings behind the youngsters haven't been involved prior, because it would have been a different kind of pressure on them if they're still chasing for promotion, which he's covering his back, I suppose, but I can understand it as well. But I think he would have learned a lot yesterday from them youngsters who come into the side, because didn't think they looked out of place at all. So hopefully that's another learning curve for him. I think we've said numerous times on the channels over the last couple of months that, you know, he's coming into a brand new league. He's going to be learning all the time. So hopefully that's something he took on board yesterday. Going back to the game in itself, and it was good to see it. So many youngsters involved in the squad yesterday. I think there was 5 or 6 youngsters on the bench as well. Obviously, Ashford had his start. Really good, positive, I think. I think the game in itself, I don't think we played too bad. I know, obviously, Southampton created a lot of chances first half. Could have been dead and buried, if I'm completely honest, at half-time. But that in itself, although the Southampton, I didn't think we were playing bad football. Fair play to Oli Tanner stepping in to cover that left back position and left wing back. Done some good things, done some bad things, and that's to be expected when you're playing in out of position. So fair play to him for doing it.
On Oli Tanner, mate, I will say a couple of things, right? Number one, yes, he was out of position. In both concepts, he was playing out of position, but also he did get caught out of position a couple of times. But Psyopis was absolutely monumental yesterday, mate. He was everywhere. And every time Oli Tanner was out of position and got caught upfield a little bit, Psyopis was across. Same on the right. He was there on the right-hand side as well. I thought he was outstanding. And kind of backs up what we've been saying for months. Put a good partner next to him. And in some games, that'll be Joe Rawls. Going into next season, I don't know whether some people have misinterpreted what I was saying about Turnbull. I've been quite consistent about what I've said about Joe Rawls, is that absolutely should give him a new contract, absolutely should keep him. But he is in the latter part of his career. He's not going to play every week. And when I was saying Turnbull is more aggressive, I don't mean physically aggressive, like tackling. I mean aggressive in that he'll play a ball into, say, to Colwell from deep, and then he will follow it, or Ashford or whatever. He'll follow it in to get a return, which creates that third man run, which is impossible to track unless you've got a really, really, really super disciplined midfield, which most teams, that's where you break them down with runners. But going back to Tanner, I thought he'd done a really good job. What I liked, mate, yesterday on that left-hand side, was that we had a left-footed player putting some crosses in. And Tanner, in fairness, he was trying to overlap, and every time he did, he beat his man and tried to put a cross in. Sometimes his crosses weren't great, but his intent was there, and I thought that was really good. And then you look on the other side, when Raheem Conte come on, playing out of position, by the way, like in the development side, he plays in midfield. It's like a holding midfielder. I thought he did a great job. He looks like he's got a bit of a nice little left foot on him as well. Both feet sort of thing. And the goal comes from Ruben Colwell, time in the pass, Raheem Conte on the overlap, crosses it across. But what happened was we had width, but we also had runners. We had movement off the ball. So suddenly Ruben Colwell is twice as effective, because when he's got the ball, yes, he can go on his own, but he can also play little balls in behind.
I thought he was outstanding yesterday, to be honest, Ruben Colwell. And I know you're a great fan of Colwell.
I just think he's the best option, mate.
I just thought he was outstanding. The way he can control the ball and stuff. But not only that, yesterday, the amount of running he done. You know, people have questioned his fitness. It was a warm day yesterday. That would have been tough against a good Southampton team, or a good passing team. But, you know, he ran his legs yesterday. It'd be interesting to see how many, the distance he covered, because he didn't stop. Fair play to him.
And this is my thing with Colwell, is like, we as a team, Cardiff look so much more effective with him in that number 10 position. Like, he did all right wide. I didn't think he did anything wrong. I thought he tried to help Oli Tanner out as much as he could, and they linked up pretty well as well. But, like, when you move him into that 10, as long as you've got someone behind him in Rawls or Turnbull who can get the ball to him so he doesn't drop too deep, and then you've got runners. Look, mate, I haven't been the biggest fan of Mate all season. I've been kind of like, His link-up play when he's in the middle is good. I didn't really fancy him as a winger. But him and Jeju finally turned up yesterday for the season, and you could actually see why we signed both of them, really. I didn't think Jeju was amazing, but he ran and ran. He pressed, and he looked like someone who, when he came off the bench, had something to prove, like, because he haven't had much game time, and he's come in, and, you know, people have said, haven't they, like, everyone's kind of saying, I just don't see what he offers. But look, in the first half, Southampton were very, very good. However, I think what you've got to remember is, they're in form. Two, they got a very settled side. They play good football. They're going for automatic promotions. So you're going to concede chances anyway. Even if we had had what is perceived as our first 11 out. My one worry, by the way, just on that, is that he's going to revert to type against Borough now. Is if a few of those players are back, you know, Bowler's back, whoever, Collins is back, like, all of those players are going to drop out. Now, I'm not saying, like, Raheem Conte should start or Giles should start, but I think Keane Ashford deserves to keep his place.
Oh, 100%.
I think Reuben Colwell's got to be in the number 10, and then you say you've got to speak to Joe Rawls, and you've got to look at his stats and his, you know, when they say they're about the redlining and stuff. If he's like, you know, if he needs a rest, put him on the bench and put Turnbull in there with Siopis and see who you can put Ollie Tanner on the left, mate. I'd love to see that.
Ollie Tanner, I think the manager came up yesterday and said, I don't think he's an injury concern. Him and Romeo both come off, didn't they? But we're cramped, I think. So,
well, they haven't played, mate, have they? At all. But no, doesn't it make you wonder, mate, looking at Tanner, right? I know he played out of position, but he's direct, he's skillful, both of what is the biggest asset of Bowler, right? So he offers, you know, similar traits going forward, but he works so hard and he's really aggressive in the way he presses and tackles, and he tries to, you know, when he's playing on the wing, he'll try and work back and help out his fullbacks. I can't understand why he hasn't got more opportunities. Like, I don't think he doesn't come on, very rarely starts. I don't understand why he hasn't had more, just more chances, like off the bench. Yeah. Or it's a strange one. I know there was a point where the manager felt like he had perhaps got a bit too big for his boots, sort of thing, which is fine, because I think he, you know, at that point, he dropped him down to the 23s for a week, didn't he? Just to give him a kick up the arse. But I think either side of that, I think Ollie Tanner would be fair to ask, like, why haven't I been given an opportunity? Because, like, it's not like Bowler's been tearing it up all season.
No, agreed, but 100% agree with you. But I think he's been set in his ways in certain times through the season, haven't he? And he's not afraid to drop people in and out of the squad, but then again, he's set in his ways, and he'll have, I say, favourites, but the ones he kind of believes in, but, you know, which is obviously different of opinions to what perhaps we have as fans. But yeah, it is what it is. Like I said, I think it's a big learning curve for the manager as well. And I think that wouldn't have done Tanner's reputation any harm yesterday, really. But like I said, playing out of position. Granted, like I said, he done some things that, you know, if it was a normal left back, you'd be like, what's he doing playing? But from my personal opinion, I, you know, take my hat off to him. It wouldn't have been easy yesterday on that left-hand side with David Brooks running at him, I think. But I thought he'd done a good job, in fairness.
And, well, I'd say another really interesting point to that is, if we are able to get Phillips back next year, in who was excellent again, whether it's, you know, they can work something out on a free or whatever, he seems to be enjoying it down here. If they do get him and we end up keeping McGuinness and the rest of it, I could see the managers revert into like a 3-5-2. And then you look at it, well, O'Dowda's injury record this year has been poor. So who can play the left wing back role? Well, if you want to be a bit more offensive, because in that system, you need the wing back to be able to get up and overlap, which Jamaal Collins is probably his weakest part of his game, is the attacking side, or certainly has been since he's come back from injury. Ollie Tanner would be a great option on that, on that performance as a left wing back if O'Dowda is not around. We had, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but the chat I had with Paula Bandato this week, we talked about the season generally and Bullet, and the fans were very vocal yesterday in their support of the manager. Unfortunately, mate, I don't think Vincent Tan gives a flying fuck about the fans. Never has, never will. He'll do what he's going to do. And I think ultimately it will come down to whether Mehmet Dalman and the board can convince him to go along with it. And I think regardless of if you take away all of football and just look at it from a purely statistical point of view, like, were we on 62 points?
Yeah.
With no sign-ins, with no, you know, real money spent. I think, like, and I don't think he's asking for, you know, he's not asking you to go spend £10 million on a striker. He just wants a little bit of backing to do a bit of wheeling and dealing.
I think we're 1 point behind Coventry. I think Coventry got a couple of games in hand, mind. Yeah. Coventry on 63 points in eighth. I think there's a couple of teams on 63. But, you know, goals at the start of the season of where we would expect to be. And I know we've fallen off at certain points around, you know, Christmas or November, December, January time. We went through a bit of a rough patch, but bloody hell, he's more than, you know, obviously the goals would have probably have been at the start of the season for us not to have had a shit season like we've had the last couple. And obviously to try and finish as high up the league as we can. I think, hand on heart, I think playoffs would have been a bit of a push, to be honest. But being Cardiff fans, you always want to, you always got to set them expectations. I mean, anyway, I think we always want to be there or thereabouts. But I think if we can finish, you know, 10th, 11th, where we are, I think, you know, it's a really good season for us.
I'm trying to hide from the sun, sorry. You know, at the start of the season, I don't know if you remember when I done the season preview, and I said, if we could finish top 12 this season, and then next season push on more around the playoffs, and then the third season in like that three-year rebuild is when you are genuinely out and out, like promotion, or it's almost like a failure, if you'd like. But that's progressing each season, and that's building, because you're starting from scratch, you're building each thing. And problem is, right, say we don't keep him, you get someone else in, it might go well, it might not. But we'll probably, as soon as it goes badly, if we're just going to get rid of that next manager, you're constantly in a state of transition and a state of rebuild. And I think
my concern with a new manager coming in is if he doesn't think people fit, or, you know, the current squad we got, say, for example, he lets 6-8 people go, and then we've got a brand new Lord coming in again. And we just, it's that vicious circle. We're always in that nightmare, or do you know what I mean?
You're just in a state of rebuild all the time then, aren't you? Because the new managers always wants their own players. And look, like, Jurgen Klopp's just finishing 8 years at Liverpool, and only now really in this season has he had like a squad of 25 where he's signed all of them. Like, it takes time to get your team and your players. And I'm not saying, I said in the thing with Paul this week, I can understand why they're a little bit reluctant, because if they give him a new contract and then come Christmas time next year, we're still playing the same way at home that we have the majority of the season, the fans are going to be pissed off and they've got to pay him out. So yeah. I do get the reluctance, but I think you've got to look at when he's had a full squad of players to pick from, you know, including Ramsey. We played good football at the start of the season. I defy anyone to say the first part of that this season we were boring to watch. It's only when he's had to shuffle it a bit. And all right, I think on the whole, his signings have worked on the whole. I think even Josh Bowler, you can say, all right, thanks for the season. Probably don't want you next season. But he's contributed at least over the season, like, you know. But I
like
think,
him as a I like him as a player bowler. I just think he's got work-ons and add-ons that he needs to add to his game to be a better player. Then I think, I know his name comes up a lot, and I'm not one to scrutinise players, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're fans. We all pay our money to watch, whether that be on TV or down at the stadium. And we've all got our opinions. And I think something we've said previously, we know you're to slate players, but it's little things that you expect, or you just pick up and you think he should be doing better. Because, like I said, he scored some great goals for us. He's put in some great contributions, but it's just that little bit more you'd expect from him, especially being, you know, at a club like Forest and playing at a higher level type of thing.
Yeah, and I think overall, like I said, I think most of his signings have been good. Like, I look at Siopis, good. I look at Gutas, Phillips, all good. Even Wilson Esbrand, I thought, generally speaking, was pretty good. I think, you know, he did go off. But I think after the Swansea game, he doesn't seem to have been quite right. Like, he seemed, like, the Swansea game for Wilson Esbrand, he seemed... The occasion seemed to get to him a little bit, which, all right, he's young, isn't it? You know, that's going to be expected. However, on a separate note, mate, does Joel Colwell exist, or is he just something that the club have created by AI as like a promotion for the academy? Because, like, he just can't get on the pitch, mate. Considering how highly he's rated, I'm amazed that they didn't give him 10 minutes yesterday, just, you know, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was a difficult one yesterday, whereby there was a couple of injuries, and
I was just going to say, when when Tanner went down, I assumed that the manager was going to then put Rawls at left back and bring on Joel Colwell. Because Giles hasn't really been in the squad much this year. You know, now and again might have been on the bench. But Joel Colwell's been with him, haven't he? Like, pretty much all season. So I assumed that that's what he would go with. And I was a little bit disappointed, mate, that he didn't get on. I hope he gets on against Borough. And if, you know, and that's another option. If Joe Rawls is struggling for Borough because he's played a lot of football since coming back from injury, then maybe, you know, why not give Joel a start? Play Ruben in 10, Joel alongside Siopis. Siopis can talk him through. Like, this lad is so highly rated. It's almost like, well, let's see what he's about. Like, you know, let's see if he's good enough. Let's just give him a look. And even if you look at it from another point of view, right? Yes, he's highly rated, all the rest of it. We want to have a look at it. You know, the rest, I get it. But how about, he's been with the first team squad a lot this season, if not the majority of the games, and hasn't got a minute on the pitch. So let's just reward him for being there and having a good attitude and, you know, constantly just churning up and having the right attitude. Last home game of the season, no pressure with relegation and things like this. So let's give him a reward, innit? Like, you know, I would like to see him. I doubt he's going to get a start, if I'm honest. So, but I would like to see him maybe, you know, get 20, 30 minutes. But
it'll be interesting. When they put the board up yesterday for the substitution for, I think Turnbull come off and Jeju come on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, what's he doing? I turned around because my buddy's boys come with us as well. I said, what's he doing? And I said, as soon as I said that, I said, you watch him score now. And he did. But
well, I
liked when he came on yesterday. He flew into a challenge on the
one from corner,
the and then the top left-hand side, which got the cant in that stand, and he kind of raised his arms, didn't he, to get a crowd going. And it's just that fight and the hunger that we seen yesterday. I don't know what it was like on the telly, but it's just what got him. What got the crowd going. And I think second half, the performance went up another couple of levels second half, even with the changes and the youngsters coming on. And I know Southampton again had chances in the second half. And I thought Hovarth yesterday, he made some top quality saves. I think he was really, really good. But I think we would have shocked Southampton yesterday. I don't think they would have thought we would have come into that second half yesterday and played the way we did.
Well, if you look at some of like the second tier podcast and people like this, they're all saying, you know, Saints are on fire, Cardiff are on the beach. And I think what has been lacking with Cardiff a lot of the games this year at home particularly is that, particularly since sort of probably November time, is pressing. And, you know, Jeju showed that if you press defence, like a team which passes out from the back, like Southampton, if you genuinely press them, and because Jeju, Colwell always presses, but he usually ends up on his own. But because Jeju went and Colwell went, they suddenly find themselves boxed in the corner. He wins a corner for us out of nothing. And it's almost like, that's what we can do. But you've got, I get it, the manager and people have said like he's had to change the way they press because of the players that we've got. But I said on in my preview, I disagree with that because Colwell likes to press. Jeju clearly likes to press. Mate will press if instructed to. So that's three straight away who play in those forward areas. We look a better side when we press. When we just sit in, everything looks too easy. It's almost like the players subconsciously lose that urgency because you're just sitting in and you're backtracking and you're staying in your shape and you're going backwards. And it almost seems like they not switch off, but they lose that intensity. Whereas when you're pressing, you're constantly on the go. And I just think we look better that way. Just very quickly, Med, I want to run through. So we started off, we had Hovarth in goal. Hovarth, I thought, was outstanding all game. And I think, you know, he's taken some criticism for his distribution. I think overall his shot stopping has been very, very good. But I thought particularly yesterday, I thought he was really, really good. I thought he also started a couple of attacks with quick throwouts and quick kickouts when he had it in his hands. Phillips and Gutas were both really good. Steady. Phillips in particular was outstanding, but Gutas was steady. Tanner, we've talked about. I thought Romeo had a good game. He got a bit tired, but you're going to expect that when you haven't played. But I thought the back four in particular, with Siopis and Rawls in front of him, yes, we conceded chances, but you're going to concede chances. But I thought the back four stood up to the pressure that they were under really well. And even the goal is, you know, the goal comes from a rebound. Like, you can't do a great lot. You can't do much about that. It's just where the ball goes. I think
the only thing that got me was there was quite a few bodies between the goal and...
Yeah, it's trying to throw your body in. But then, in the second half, mate, did you notice that every time Southampton got a ball anywhere around the edge of the box or in the box, there was bodies flying in, blocking it. I think Phillips and Siopis made about three or four blocks each in the second half. So it's clearly, I agree, and I think probably they've been told, you know, get your body in the way of the shots and be a bit more aggressive in stopping them. The two in front of the midfield, I think Siopis was my man of the match. Bar Colwell probably is the only one. I think Colwell was the man of the match. But I thought Siopis was, he does so much work, mate, which is unseen. And he did a lot of covering yesterday for Tanner and Romeo and just generally looked after the ball, played a couple of nice crossfield long passes as well. I thought Rawls was really good. I thought Rawls was really, he read the game really well in the first half without being outstanding. I thought he just did a good job. But I thought he came into his own once he had Colwell in the 10, because I stand by it, Med. I just don't think Turnbull likes to receive the ball with his back to goal. He just doesn't seem comfortable receiving it in those little pockets of space. Once Colwell went in there, I thought Rawls really started to excel. And then when he had the energy of the young players either side of him, I thought he really kicked on. I thought he had a good, really good, strong finish to the game, Joe Rawls. And he put a couple of great set pieces in towards the end. And we probably could have asked why there wasn't more people on the end of it. Turnbull, I thought Turnbull did all right. You know, he tried, he worked hard, he looks after the ball. I just don't think he's a number 10. I really don't. Ashford, I thought, solid all game. And obviously, I know it takes a deflection, but what a moment. And like, It's when you, if you see the interview with him, mate, you realize how young he is. Like, he's a proper like kid from the valleys, and it was great to see. Just he didn't know what to do, like didn't even know how to celebrate. Like, but he looks, he got a lot of pace about him. He got a good first touch, and what I like about him is he goes up and down that wing.
Yeah,
And I think,
and it was good in the second half. Sorry to jump in here then. They switched him from the right to the left, didn't they? Because they put Mate Day on the right.
Finally,
something you've mentioned in your preview as well, going back about why we don't do that, just to mix things up. And he didn't look out of place out there either. I think going back to that hunger and the fight and the want, you know, he challenged everything. If he lost the ball, he'd fight back for it. And that's what he want. And when he scored that goal, I was so chuffed for him, really. Like you said, I don't think he knew quite what to do. But, awesome, brilliant.
So Turnbull, I thought, was great, pretty good. I thought Mate up front, he worked hard, did all right, didn't really sparkle. But I thought once he went wide and he had, the fullback overlapping him and get up to support him with Colwell dropping in as well, I thought Mate looked really good on the wing. For the first time, I got to say, I've seen him as a wide player, and I thought, oh, there you go. That's what we signed him for.
Yeah.
And that was good to see. Him and Jeju, I thought, they contributed a lot. I thought, Giles did well linking up with Ashford. Didn't, he only had a little bit of time. But I got to say, mate, I thought Raheem Conte.
Yeah, he looks a baller.
I tell you what, mate. Just quickly, mate, I think in about 5 years' time, potentially we could have, if things were to work out right, you could have Raheem Conte alongside Joel Colwell with Ruben in front. Like, that's exciting, man, because Raheem Conte looks so comfortable on the ball, but he was also happy to get up and attack. Obviously, set up a goal. But did you see the one where Southampton sort of played it, a few touches, and they did a little chipped ball over the top, and Phillips and Gutas got caught a bit flat-footed. They were not quite out of position, but just a bit ball-watching. And it came over to our sort of right, their left. And I think it was Armstrong, possibly, or I'm not sure which Southampton player, but he was through. And Raheem Conte tracked him inside as the ball went over the top and then won a header against someone who was, much bigger, physically stronger. And if he doesn't win that header, Southampton were through on goal. Yeah. And I thought that shows that not only is he good on the ball technically, which you expect that these days with young players, but it shows that he's mentally very switched on. And I thought he had a cracking game. And I'd actually, I would like to see him start against Berwick, and I'd move Tanner.
With the youngsters that come on yesterday, then, and I know we're not far off wrapping up. Do you think, obviously, the likes of Ashford, Conte, I think it was asked to the manager yesterday in the press conference about would Ashford be in and around the squad next year, or would he be more suitable to go out on loan to get thing? And I think the manager pretty much said that, he thinks that he'd be involved in the squad next year, which I completely agree with the Ashford one. But then I suppose, again, then it depends. Is NG going to go? I suppose it depends what happens in the summer then with the others, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. Because I think it would be a mistake for us to keep Rawls, Wintle and Turnbull in the squad next year. I think you've got to let one of them go. We're not going to sell Turnbull and Rawls. And it's not necessarily that I don't like Ryan Wintle, because I think he can be a good squad player for us next year. But if you've got Joel Colwell and you've got Raheem Conte as someone who can go in the midfield as well as fullback, and I think we have to sign a midfielder, so I think someone's got to go. But I could see Conte. It all depends on who goes, who stays. Because like you say, if NG goes, then you could see Conte staying to be cover. You can play a couple of positions. It just depends. I think Joel Colwell will go on loan next year. I do. I understand he's highly rated. There's obviously something about his game or his physique or something that they think is not quite ready, because otherwise he would have got on the pitch, I think, in the last couple of games. And, you know, he might go and start against Borough or whatever. I just think he's most likely to go on loan. I think Ashford, absolutely, you've got to keep him. Because if you think Bowler's going to go, so straight away you've lost one wide player. Grant's going to go, that's two. So I think Ashford, you know, takes one of their places. You've also got Isaac Davis coming back.
Would you keep Grant if we had the opportunity to?
So Grant, similar to Phillips, if we could work out something with wages, with obviously Grant's got a bit longer on his deal, so you'd have to pay a fee. But I heard from a few people that West Brom do want him off the books. They don't want him back. So if you could agree a nominal sort of fee with them, so they're happy to get him off the books just from the wages point of view, and then he's willing to take a bit of a cut, I'd absolutely keep Colin Grant. I think going forward, he's probably being one of our most consistent performers. He always puts a shift in. And I think you can see with, like, if he had played in that team yesterday with those young players around him and the way we played, I think you'd have seen a better version of Colin Grant. I think it's much more difficult as a forward player to take your chances when you know in a game you're only going to get one, maybe two, because we didn't create a lot. So if we can play like we did yesterday and create more, I think you see a much more prolific version of Colin Grant. And if you look back upon his career, he's scored goals quite consistently. But when he's playing in a team which presses and attacks, and he's another one, mind you, can really press. Yeah. So in answer to your question, I would keep Grant. Here's the thing. I would like to sign Colin Grant permanently. But if we could only get him on loan, I wouldn't straight away get him in.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds strange because it's like, surely if you want to sign him, you can sign him.
Yeah. But
I think Cardiff, loan-wise, next year, need to be a little bit more clever, because I think a couple this year have not been fantastic. And I don't want to be negative, because we have had a good performance yesterday. You know, everything is kind of, it's been good. The tactics were good. The pressing was good. The performance, the result, everything. So I don't want to be negative. But, you know, I think Jeju, for instance, I know he scored yesterday, hasn't really offered enough. Like, when we signed him in January, we've played without a number nine, mate, all season. And I think that's an issue. I think the one thing I've noticed about Kean Ashford is, like, his finishing is, you know, supposed to be top draw in the 23s. And obviously scored a nice goal with a deflection yesterday. He works hard. At the moment, he looks like a winger. At the moment. But I know he plays through the middle at the younger age groups. But in this system, the way most teams play, like a 4-2-3-1 these days, don't they? And I think the only way you could maybe see him playing through the middle, and I think this is the mistake we made with Colin Grant, by the way, when we played him through the middle, is I think the way you do it is you play, and people might say this is like trying to overcomplicate it a bit, but instead of playing like Grant or Ashford as a number nine, so they're the focal point, I would play them in the sort of number 10 position, but not as a number 10. And I'd have Colwell as like a false nine. So Colwell is the most furthest forward as you line up on, you know, the board or whatever. But then Colwell drops back into the number 10 and Ashford or Grant runs beyond. And then if you need someone to hold up the ball or play off, Colwell can do that. He does it anyway. And you have the runner off him. So they're playing through the middle, but almost as like a second striker, a bit like what Dwight York used to do back in the day, maybe it'd be the best way to explain it. Not that I think.
If we could have somebody like Dwight York who did the back of the net.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. But I just don't think you can play Ashford through the middle. He hasn't got the hold-up play and the size. And we
perhaps
don't
not,
play.
Perhaps not at the moment. I think obviously that his confidence would have gone through the roof after yesterday. So I think the manager's got a job now, keeping his feet on the ground. And from just listening to what he said, I think, you know, he looks a little bit of a nervous type, doesn't he? And I think the managers, and, you know, that's why they're there. They got people in the club to do that now, keep and the manager hasn't been afraid to drop Tanner back down after the Swansea game and things. I know it wasn't straight away, but I think there's people in the club now that will keep them grounded type of thing. But I think is important that, you know, I'd be disappointed next week if Ashford don't start, given the performance he put in yesterday. But it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't. And I can see the look on your face there, which suggests that you completely agree with me. Because how many times have you done it this season where Reuben Caldwell's had a stormer and you'd assume he'd be the first name on the team sheet the following game and he's not nowhere near, like.
Yeah, before we wrap up, I want to speak to you about Caldwell now. But Sober Road
Blues, I've got another question I'd like to ask you as well.
Sober Road Blues there says, Ashford is a winger or a number 10, 100%. I wouldn't play him up front personally. So there you go. I do agree with that. But, you know, in 3 years' time, he might have filled out a bit. He might be a bit stronger and he'll be more experienced. He might end up being a number 9. A bit like that United player who's playing in Spain who no one can mention anymore. But he was the same. He started on wide and eventually he was going to be a central striker. And I think Ashford is the same type of player. He's skillful, he's quick, he can beat a man. And I think it suits him by being out wide. It gives him the opportunity to grow as a footballer, as a man. But also, like I said, I think if you've played Caldwell in a false nine with Key and Ashford as a number 10, but not as a number 10, as a deep striker, and played at Caldwell off it. They link up so well, him and Caldwell. So a conversation came up with me and Paula Bandato. If you haven't seen it, check out that show. It's on Cardiff City World. Full episode breaking down Cardiff season. One of the conversations came up, which was, has Reuben Caldwell been treated shoddily by Cardiff City this season? And I said, and Paul kind of agreed as well, he probably has. And if, I don't think it'll happen, but if, because it's not very often, right, an opposing manager picks out a player from the other team after a loss by name and says they were phenomenal, which is what Russell Martin did yesterday. But Reuben Caldwell's been pretty consistent all season when he's played. And you just alluded to the fact, how many times has he had a great game or had a run of games where he's been good and then he's just rotated out of the blue and you're just like, ah. If you're Reuben Caldwell and a big team were to come in, you know, like a mid-table Premier League team, say, whatever, and they offer, you know, the chance to go and play maybe Europa League football or whatever and be at a higher level, could you be influenced by the fact that you're constantly rotated, you're constantly the one who gets substituted, no matter what?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know, mate.
100%. And it's a thing with Cardiff, isn't it? We've always been one a club that we'll sell out better players. And my opinion is that I wouldn't begrudge him going to a so-called bigger club then. If he's going to be guaranteed, he's going to be playing regular. I wouldn't want him to go to like a mid-table Premier League club and he's going to be sat on the bench all the time. But, you know.
Interesting one now, Med. So my point is, by the way, Reuben Caldwell absolutely deserves to get at least a start and some minutes for Wales in the summer in some friendlies for the way he's consistently performed over this season. Ramsey should not. If Ramsey plays for Wales, mate, over the summer, I'm going to be super pissed off because, you know, if he plays for Wales over the summer, he won't be fit for the start of the season because he'll pick up a strain or not. I would like to see him go put his feet up now. And then I want to see the best version of him because I think it makes a massive difference to the way Cardiff City play. And I'd be a bit, no, I wouldn't be pissed off, but I'd be gut because I understand wanting to play for your country. And
he's, that's the thing now, though, right? And again, I'm not knocking him. Because what Ramsey's done has been incredible. It's, you know, the career he's had. But I think what you said there about see the best of Ramsey, I think the best of Ramsey now in a Cardiff shirt is not going to be the Ramsey of old. I think 10, 15 games a season is perhaps his limit.
Yeah, and it happens anyway, doesn't it? And especially, like I've said many times, if he hasn't had that nasty leg break, when he had it, he would have gone on to be in the sort of top 10 midfielders in Europe. He's that good. He was there. Yeah, he's absolutely quality, mate. But
I think he's a, you know, my only thing is obviously I don't know what wages he's on, but you know, we sack to have him in and around the building and around the players in training and things. Are we kind of paying the wages for that element as well?
Here's a question for you, Ahmed, with Ramsey, right? Do you think that training and being around Aaron Ramsey this year, and maybe this has been unfair to Reuben Colwell and taking a bit away of his own hard work, but do you think he has improved so much because he's training, playing, being mentored, whatever you want to call it, by the Welsh captain, the Welsh number 10, every day of the week? Do you think or not?
I'd like to say 100%, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to say that. But obviously, I don't know the thing. But I would say, yeah, 100%.
It probably hasn't done any harm, has it?
I think the manager have come out vocally and said as well that even though Rambo's been injured, he's still there and he's still around. So even that example to set into the younger players, if you're injured, and it's something we've tried to adapt in like local rugby, if you're injured, still attend training sessions because you can still learn things.
Yeah.
Even when you're injured.
Teammates, yeah.
So I just think having that mindset set into youngsters early days, because a lot of things are taken away from the youngsters now. We talked to previous Cardiff City legends about, you know, the YTS programs they went through. And that's kind of taken away from kids nowadays. But I think having somebody like Rambo in and around so they can learn from, and what a great example he is setting. We haven't got to be there. He could be feet up in the house type of thing. But he's passionate about Cardiff City. He's a Cardiff City supporter. It's where it all started. And I just think he's giving a bit back and, you know, fair play to him.
If we could get 20 games out of Ramsey next year, mate, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Right, just before we
do, I want to go to this comment, mate. I've been waiting to go to it. It's a really interesting take, which I haven't heard anyone else say. So Slope Road Blues says, I don't think we need Isaac Davis next year either. As it sounds harsh, I'd sell him for 3 or 4 million. Yes, he's doing all right in Belgium, but he's played plenty of games in the Championship and hasn't delivered. What do you take of that? Or what do you think of that?
I don't know if we'd get 3 or 4 million for him.
Oh, I reckon you'd get it. Probably 3 from Anderlecht or Monaco or someone.
Well, that's the clubs that have potentially there's been rumours about it, haven't it? But again, it's difficult because I haven't really watched it. Obviously, I've heard reports and things, and you know, you've been quite vocal in the fact that you've kept up to date with what he's been doing previously. But I haven't seen enough of him myself. I think he's got the ability, but again, it's going back to this season, is having somebody up there who's not pulling the ball in the back of the net. I know he's done it, you know, has he scored something like 8, 9, 10 goals?
12, I think he scored 12 at the moment. For me, I don't think he couldn't have been any worse than what Mete, Etete and Jeju have been up front.
I don't see the arm in having him back through pre-season and just seeing how he goes through pre-season, isn't it?
Yeah, what I would do if I was the club, which I'm obviously not, and you know, as I've said over the last couple of weeks, when I've talked about football structure and being prepared for if the manager is going to go, have we got a shortlist made up with detailed profiles of our potential targets and blah, blah, blah. Like, the club obviously think very differently to me. But like, to me, one, they should have been watching every single 90 minutes he's played. But two, you've got to understand as well, the Belgian second tier is not the Championship.
No,
it's a different level. However, you can only play what's in front of you. He scored goals. So what I would do is I would get him in, make sure he's there for the first day of pre-season training. And whenever we play games, he is playing against the strongest opposition and he's playing with the first team players. And you have a look at him. I do think he's got to be if he's going to play for Cardiff now, I think he's got to be a number nine. I don't think he can be a wide player because I think that is going to hinder the progress of a Keane Ashford. I don't want to see that. So I think Isaac Davis, if he can replicate the goal scoring form he's done in Belgium, then of course I think he's capable of it. He's got the ability. But I can see where Slope Road Blues is coming from.
Yeah, 100% agree with that comment.
But also, mate. being away from home for a year is not hard, is not easy. And he will have grown up a lot. I know he's changed physically. Like, he's a bit more, like, he's jacked. Like, if I could go back to Reuben Colwell, mate, the size on him, you know. But, like, he's changed physically. He will have changed mentally. Probably grown up a bit. He's matured. He's played a lot more football, which I think helps players develop that kind of, like, football brain, if that makes sense. So... it'd be interesting. I think you've got to have a look at him before you sell him, surely.
Yeah. But for us to progress next year and be, should we say, playoff contenders, then we need somebody up front who's going to bag us 15 goals.
100%, mate. And someone who Reuben Colwell can actually find. Because that's been the problem. I've said a few times that I felt Colwell's been let down by his teammates around him. And that's not necessarily digging them out, but like just their movement around him sort of thing has not been there. So he's sort of, he has difficulty, you know, in certain.
I like the setup we had yesterday, in fairness. And I think it made Reuben shine a little bit more, if I'm completely honest. Like I said, I thought he was outstanding yesterday. And yeah, I just think one or two additions, you know, could make him even greater.
He had an out-and-out striker. I think you see the best of Reuben Colwell. Yeah. God, ask your question before we go.
I've been busting to ask you this one. obviously, I know you know with you know, you've done quite a bit of work with Darren over the years since you've started the channel and things. But how proud do you think he would have been yesterday? I'm guessing he would have been sat in the stand watching our game. To see the youngsters come on and make the impact they did, I bet he was absolutely beaming.
I'm glad you asked this, Med, right? Because, so, the other day, when I was on the phone in, and everyone was being very negative, and I was the only one who was sort of trying to be a bit more positive and sort of level-headed, and there was people saying, give Aaron Ramsey the manager's job as a player manager. And I was like, one, that's ridiculous. Two, if you're going to give it to someone like that, why would you not give it to Darren Pearce, who's been at the club before, knows the club, has been, you know, the 23's manager for the last few years, has been in and around the club, he knows the young players, etc. So I wasn't saying Darren should have the job. I was saying, if you're suggesting that, then surely this is a better thing. And I did caveat by saying, look, he's a friend of mine. So I am biased. I want him to succeed and I want him to do well. However, Darren takes a lot of criticism from people, from City fans, about the 23s. All he can do is prepare them to play for the first team or the 23s and be ready. And I would argue that if you look at the players that Cardiff have got coming through, waiting for opportunities, then he's doing a very good job. I know for a fact he was very, very proud. Like, he would have been so, so happy yesterday just because seeing those players not just get a chance, but to get a chance and to excel, that's what it's about, mate. And I think, like I said, I would start Raheem Conte in the next game. I thought he made such a difference on the right. I would love to see Joel Colwell get some minutes. I think Kean Ashford deserves to keep his place in the starting lineup. I don't think he will, but I'll probably speak to him later today, Darren. I think, how proud he is, mate.
Best regards. And, you know, with that City Legends thing we had with Darren, and again, this is to promote some of the City Legends things we do. He was quite open and honest about the fact that he's not judged on results with the 23s. He's judged on players being able to step into that first team. And that's why I asked the question I did. Because, well, what more can you ask for? Yesterday, with six or seven involved in the first team squad, is, you know, hat off to him. Keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
Yeah, Reese says there, the forum, there's certain groups of anti-Purse posters because he doesn't win every game. Winning means fuck all if the players don't progress. Under him, we've had more youngsters make the step up to the first team, 100%, mate. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if the 23s win their games. Of course, it's nice, and if things are going well, that's going to come naturally. But ultimately, it's about them being ready for the first team, but not just to be in the squad when they're called upon to excel. And you tell me, like, a young player this year who's come into the team and hasn't looked like they belong, every single one of them, whether it's been for 5 minutes, a start, whatever. Whereas in previous, you know, previous regimes, that hasn't been the case. Last question then. Do you think if Bowler, Collins, etc., you know, the ones who were like touch and go, so I think that's Bowler, Collins, Wintle, would you, do you expect them to come into the starting lineup? Say if Rawls can't play, do you expect us to revert back to Bowler on the right, you know, Collins at left back, Wintle in the middle against Borough?
I would, if I'm honest, if Collins was fit, I'd probably put him back there just because Tanner perhaps just looked
at He's not a left back.
No,
But you could play Romeo on the left and put Collins right.
Yeah, potentially. I would like to kind of go with what we kind of finished off with yesterday, really, and just keep that buzz around the place that we're not afraid to play youngsters. But again, I don't know, because Butter's not going to be easy. So it'll be interesting. But I would like to, you know, keep playing the youngsters. And
all right, then. If
we Joe got, what have we got to lose? What have we got to lose?
100%, I 100% agree with you. 100%. If Joe Rawls is not up to starting against Borough, so the last home game of the season, who would you play in the number eight?
I would like to say Joel Colwell, but I'd have a funny feeling he'll probably put Wintle in there if Wintle's...
That drives me nuts, that does. That. And I agree with you, he will put Wintle in there.
You know what will happen.
Play Turnbull or Joel Colwell. Like, it's the last home game of the season. Play one of, like, drives me nuts. But there we go. Look, a great result for Cardiff, a good performance. Ruben Colwell, again, stepped up. I thought Siopis was absolutely fucking monumental. And I think it shows that his problem earlier in the season was more to do with who was playing alongside him rather than or in front of him. Because I think when they dropped Colwell, that was another reason he was struggling. He was trying to do too much. He was trying to be the destroyer and be the progressor of the ball. When you put a good player next to him, he can just be that player who covers every blade of grass. He did so much yesterday to help Tanner out when Tanner got caught a little bit out of position, which you'd expect because he's a forward playing at left back. And I thought Phillips, Siopis and Colwell, which effectively, and Howarth, the spine of the team yesterday was phenomenal. And then the youth around it just made it extra special. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, mate, over the Middlesbrough game. A bit disappointed that my buddy's not coming down, but there we go. Such is life.
Such is life. But keep your eyes out.
Mate, Wednesday night, we got an announcement and a half. It's a beauty. Wednesday night, I've got an announcement. It's going to be exciting. But in the meantime, if you haven't got your tickets for the next live event, Cardiff City Legends, presented by Ace Podcast Nation, click that QR code just above Matthew's head. Only £10. There is only a few tickets left, and I mean literally a few. It's going to be a belter. Reece says, can we at least have a hint?
No.
I'm keeping it close to the vest. What I can tell you is that it's in July. There you go. Let's do with that what you will. It's only Wednesday, mate. And you'll know. Tickets will go on sale to Ace Podcast Nation members Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Official announcement Wednesday night on the Flower Hour. And then Thursday, the tickets will be open to the general public. So if you want to be guaranteed a ticket for this event, the tickets are going to go. So I suggest the best way to get a ticket or be assured of a ticket at least is to be a member of patreon.com/AcePodcastNation.
I think what we should say though, that the tickets for the one in July are very reasonably priced as well.
Oh, that's ridiculously priced, mate. Ridiculously priced. for what it is. But yeah, there you go. Just how we roll.
It is.
Exciting times. Take care. I'll be back tonight. I'll be back tonight with five things we learned from Southampton versus Cardiff. Matthew, finish us off.
Up a flower. Podcast Network.